What do you think? There's something about this that isn't right, Siri said. I just have a feeling about it. Her blue eyes gleamed at him in a way he hadn't seen since they'd arrived on Radnor. There hadn't been much call for Siri's quick wit. I trust my instincts, but you know how I occasionally like to back them up with facts. Until we have facts, let's hold off then, Obi-Wan agreed. We should investigate the offer further. Curie poked her head in the room.
Are you finished? I have some medics who need to eat or they'll collapse.
Tell them to come in, Siri said. What do you know about Dull Heap, Curie? Curie tried to scratch her scalp through her bio-ISO suit.
Not much. But what I know I don't trust.
Radnorans don't trust the Avani.
They are aggressive colonizers. I made it a rule not to do business with them. I wouldn't sell them weapons. Of course, there are many others, even on Radnor, who will.
Her face changed. There were many others, she added softly. Avon has offered a fleet of evacuation ships for Radnor, Obi-Wan told her. I don't feel we should take the offer at face value. Curie looked puzzled.
What are you getting at?
For one thing, the offer could be a smokescreen for a planned takeover, Siri said. Curie frowned.
Why would Avon want to take over a planet where you can't breathe the air?
A good point, Obi-Wan said. Maybe Avon doesn't want to colonize Radnor, but they might be planning a temporary occupation. There are many tech labs on Radnor that can be plundered for data. Sometimes data can be more important than land. Curie just looked tired.
I can't worry about this. I have sick people to take care of.
Siri put a gloved hand on her shoulder. We will handle it. Curie nodded and left. Obi-Wan and Siri headed out of the med center. He hoped it would not be a waste of time to investigate the Avani. The offer seemed a simple offer of help from a neighbor. But he had been on enough missions to know that there were veils behind veils, where somewhere the truth would lie. Chapter 10. The Padawans were heading into the emergency command center when Ferris held up a hand. The Padawan stopped. Anakin nearly bumped into Dara. Annoyed, he stepped back. Before we meet with Galen, I suggest that only one Padawan conduct the questioning, Ferris said. We don't want him to think we are accusing or bullying him. This should be done carefully.
You should do it, Ferris, Dara said. You have the most experience.
Ferris nodded.
All right.
Wait a second. Don't I get a vote? Anakin wondered. What happened to Jedi cooperation? But True was agreeing as well. So Anakin nodded. Ferris led the way into the room, which had been a minister's office before all the government officials had fled the planet. Now a row of data screens glowed faintly as Galen sat on a repulsor lift chair, moving from screen to screen as he checked and matched lists. How is the evacuation coming? Ferris asked politely as they entered. Galen passed a harried hand through his hair.
All right. There are so many details, and I don't have much help.
We'd be glad to assist you, Ferris said. How many workers do you have here?
Just me at the moment, Galen said. I had a staff, but they all left when the ministers did.
He gave the Padawans an impatient glance.
I can handle things here. You go ahead and keep patrolling the streets or whatever you're doing.
He turned back to the data screens, dismissing the Padawans as though they were naughty children who had interrupted his work. Can you tell us who has access to this information? Ferris asked. Anakin was surprised at his polite tone. How could he let Galen get away with patronizing them?
The upper ministers of government had access, Galen answered without turning. And now I do.
Why? Is there anyone who would release that information? Ferris asked. Galen gave a weary sigh and turned around in his chair.
No, of course not, he said. It's classified, sensitive.
If people knew in what order they would be evacuating, violence could erupt. The people at the bottom of the list will try to push themselves forward. I won't post the lists until immediately before the ships arrive.
Galen looked at the Jedi curiously.
If there is something wrong, you must tell me. I am in charge of the city's security. I don't want the job, but I'm the only qualified one left.
I'm afraid we have reason to believe that the raiders have information about the evacuation, Ferris answered. We believe they are planning to plunder the homes of those who are leaving the planet.
Galen looked at them sharply. Are you sure about this?
At Ferris's nod, he shook his head.
Still, at least they will have their lives. But they will return to nothing, Dara said.
If we can return. Galen looked away. I have a feeling our beloved planet is lost to us for good.
You don't know that, Ferris said. The toxin could have a half-life. We don't have time to investigate that, Galen snapped. Don't you think we have enough to do?
We are not accusing you, Ferris said politely.
Maybe not, but you are wasting my time. I am trying to save lives here.
Galen waved at the data screen.
We need to find out who passed the information along, Anakin said in a forceful tone.
He was tired of letting Ferris ask all the questions. He was getting nowhere with that polite tone.
Whoever it was wanted to foster instability on the planet. I don't call investigating that a waste of time, do you? Hey, there's no reason to jump down my throat, kid.
Galen held up two hands as if to fend Anakin off.
Look, I'd like to help, but there's really no way to tell who passed on the information. Many of the ministers have gone to Coruscant. Some have scattered to other worlds to wait out the catastrophe in comfort.
He frowned at them.
You're not thinking of leaving now that you've lost your masters, are you?
We haven't lost them, Anakin snapped. Ferris interrupted smoothly. No, we're not leaving. We're to remain until the evacuations take place. Don't worry. And we've destroyed many of the prototype droids that the raiders were using.
You kids did?
Galen looked impressed.
Maybe things are looking up.
Suddenly the communicator sputtered to life. It crackled and buzzed, but they could hear a voice calling for Galen to answer. He quickly adjusted the chair to swing over to the comm unit.
Galen here. Galen here. Do you read? Do you read?
Ships. Evacuation. Engine shutdown needs repair.
The words came out in bursts of static.
Delay. Do you copy?
The ships are delayed? How long?
Galen asked desperately.
How long?
But the comm unit went dead. Galen turned to the Padawans. His face was pale.
That was the communication line of the Senate ship. Even a short delay will be fatal. The winds will shift in 12 hours. Without those ships, we're dead.
Chapter 11. In the isolation sector, the Jedi Masters met outside the med center to check in. Sowara and Rygal were also hesitant about Dalheeb's offer.
The planet is extremely vulnerable now, Sowara said. One day the survivors will want to return, if they can. They should return to intact homes and businesses.
This will take further study, Ciri said soberly.
Rygal nodded.
Just then, Curie hurried out of the building.
I've received a communication from the evacuation ships. It wasn't very clear, but I do know this. The ships have been delayed. How long, I don't know.
The Jedi exchanged glances. Obi-Wan reached for his comlink and tried to contact Anakin. It was unsuccessful. He jammed it back into his belt with unnecessary force. Ciri glanced at him, then turned back to the others.
Now we must take Dalheeb's offer seriously, Ciri said worriedly. Lives are at stake.
The prevailing winds will shift in 12 hours, Obi-Wan said. We have to make a decision very soon.
By the way, we encountered something interesting, Sowara said.
We found someone who has been unaffected by the toxin.
Curie's worried expression changed to intent curiosity.
What do you mean?
A Radnoran named Wilk sneaked back into the isolation sector to see his wife 2 days ago.
He didn't have a bio-ISO suit. His wife died, but he is completely healthy.
He has no symptoms at all? Curie asked. Are you sure?
We brought him here, Soara told her. We were just about to look for you.
We must study him,
Curie said, her voice rising with excitement.
He could have some sort of built-in immunity. This could help us.
She frowned.
I only have a few researchers here. My scientific skills are rusty, but we need to investigate this.
There isn't much time, Obi-Wan told her. For the first time since they'd met her, Curie smiled.
Then I'd better get started.
She turned and rushed back into the building. A voice suddenly boomed out from behind them.
Jedi, glad to find you here.
It was Dahl Heap. The Jedi bowed to him politely.
You haven't been back to speak to us, as you promised,
Dahl Heap said.
We don't understand this lack of courtesy.
We have been busy with the sick, Ciri said.
You should be busy working to get them off planet,
Dahl Heap said in a chiding tone.
Our planet has made a great and generous offer, and still you ignore us. Now we hear that the evacuation ships have been delayed, and you still don't come to us.
Dahl Heap's skin was mottled with anger.
We deserve this treatment. If you do not allow our fleet to land, the Senate shall hear about it.
We were just coming to see you, Dahl Heap, Obi-Wan said in a polite tone, even though he was nettled at the ambassador's rudeness. We accept your offer of help. It was a decision he'd made reluctantly, but Ciri was right. Lives were at stake. The Jedi would just have to ensure that the Evani were not planning a takeover of the famed Radnoran research labs. Though how they would do that, he didn't know. The Senate ships could be delayed for days. It was more than time enough for the Evani to raid the factories.
More like it, we say,
Dahl Heap said, satisfied.
We will give the order for the ferry ships to land in both sectors. We will load the citizens onto skiffs in the cities, then bring them to the ferry ships, which will transport them to the orbiting ships. Then we'll bring them to Coruscant. You see, we give all our resources to our friends, the Radnorans.
Dahl Heap hurried off, his sept-silk cloak swishing with his lurching walk. I hope we don't come to regret this, Soara said.
Yes, Obi-Wan said, but it seemed the only decision to make under the circumstances.
Ciri withdrew her comlink from her utility belt. She punched out the coordinates for Ferris. To everyone's surprise, they heard Ferris's voice clearly.
Yes, Master.
Ferris, we have received word that the evacuation ships have been delayed.
We know this, and Master...
1 minute, Ferris, Ciri interrupted. This is important. Avon ships will be here in a matter of hours. They will transport the population to ships orbiting the planet. Then they'll be taken to safety. There is no need for panic. Did you copy that?
Yes, Master. But we fear that someone has...
Static overcame the line, and it went dead. The Masters exchanged uneasy glances.
He sounded worried, Obi-Wan said.
Yes, Ciri agreed quietly. He did. Something is wrong in Tacto, Soara murmured.
I can feel it, but I don't have a clear sense of it.
The Jedi Masters exchanged glances. They all felt the same.
I agree, Ciri said. We can only trust that our Padawans are able to handle it.
The usually composed Soara looked uncertain.
This is Dara's first mission.
Ferris has experience with difficult situations, Ciri said. And the others look up to him.
Not Anakin, Obi-Wan thought.
He had sensed Anakin's dislike of Ferris. It hadn't worried him. Anakin would naturally feel rivalries with other Padawans at this age. As he matured as a Jedi, he would outgrow them.
Once, Obi-Wan had felt the same about Ciri. Now he valued her friendship.
Anakin was still young. Without Obi-Wan there to guide him, would Anakin allow his strong will to bend with the needs of the group? Would his dislike of Ferris spill over into open conflict? The nagging doubts would not go away.
They are all excellent Padawans, each in their own way,
Sawara said confidently. Together, they are even stronger.